Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. IBM just unveiled the world's smallest computer. The mind-reading alter ego headset interacts with Alexa telepathically. The Linux beep command can be exploited. Apple plans to replace Intel chips and will use its own custom Mac chips beginning in 2020. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cap5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cap5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. If you thought the Raspberry Pi was a small computer, this will blow your mind. IBM just unveiled the world's smallest computer, and it measures just 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter. IBM hopes to pioneer the technologies that could change our lives in the next 5 years. Therefore, IBM is now building the world's smallest computer. Details are still sparse, but there's enough info to get excited about. The computer is 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter in size, smaller than a grain of rock salt, and apparently costs less than 10 cents to manufacture. Let's put that into context. Be honest, you thought it was tiny when you saw this picture, but what you need to realize is that this picture is actually of a chip that holds 64 motherboards. On each of those motherboards, there are two of these tiny computers from IBM. Yes, pictured here are 128 of the computers.
Oh!
There's an actual photo of the computer. Here's an actual photo of the computer on a pile of salt to give you some scale. The last world's smallest computer to make a big splash was the Michigan Micro Mote in 2015, which was twice the size of this computer. Feature-wise, the computer has a processor with several hundred thousand transistors, SRAM memory, and a photovoltaic cell for power, and a communications unit that uses LED and a photo detector to talk with the outside world. IBM claims the computer has the power of an x86 chip from 1990. That puts it exactly on the edge of enough power to run the original Doom. IBM's actual application for this chip seems mostly centered on supply chain management and counterfeit protection. Enter the blockchain buzz. The chip is just one of many crypto anchors that IBM is developing for this purpose. And now we wait for more details on IBM's plans for this, the tiniest of computers.
Wow.
This is interesting because I get the purpose of the computer, but I have to wonder how many people are going to go, eh, crap, I just lost my computer. Then what happens?
Oh, dear me.
I get it for, you know, maybe with some applications. Counterfeit protection, I'm confused about. I guess you
sure.
just put a computer on everything?
Sasha, on episode 551, Robert Koenig was on the show, and do you remember him talking about the ability to use the blockchain mm-hmm. to verify that fruit is actually organic and verify that things are from the actual Gucci manufacturer and not some knockoff in China. Do you remember that discussion?
Yeah, so that would be like one of those little computers is what would be...
Yes, because the blockchain is a computer technology, so it requires a computer in order to access it and run it. Imagine this, like I'm talking a 1 millimeter, the size of a grain of salt, maybe a little smaller, that is a computer that is as powerful as what we used to use back in the 90s.
My mind is actually
what?
Blown. Are there other, like, crazy things we could do with tiny, small computers?
I think the sky's the limit. I mean, as we advance technology and you take something this small, I'm sure given another couple of years, there's going to be a way to make something that small even faster. Start implementing that with, say your glasses to run a virtual screen so that, you know, you can go all Star Trek with that, you know, the glasses thing. I mean, you've got stuff like that. I'm thinking, you know, people that microchip their pets. How amazing would this be that, you know, you stick the thing in the dog's nose so that from now on, Fido, when he comes to your house and sniffs the door, it picks up this computer chip, scans and goes, oh, it's Fido, opens the doggy door so your Whoa. House can stay secure instead of this open flap that anybody can get in. I mean, you think of all the possibilities of this.
I'm thinking medical, too. Medical stuff.
Yeah.
Being able to inject a very, very tiny thing under the skin or into the bloodstream. Or I don't know if that can be done. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But I can see that being used.
Well, I mean, imagine it, you know, say you throw one in each of, you know, the palm of your hand and on the tips of your fingers. And next thing you know, you have the ability to control, various technologies at your house, your car, whatever, because you have these unique identifiers, because you have these little microcomputers. I mean, anything.
It'll be like the newest trend in piercings.
Yeah, exactly.
10,000 of them. 10,000 of them all mining Monero on a die this big. That's all you need.
That's right.
I cannot even imagine. My brain can't even. I need one of these little tiny computers in my brain helping me with this.
Yeah. It's very interesting for sure.
All right.
The Foo thinks that input and output is going to be the issue. How can you communicate with outside peripherals such as, you know, it's not going to have an HDMI port.
Right.
It's not going to have the capability to connect in a mouse and these kinds of things. But you think about being able to program that chip to do specific functions and then let it loose and do its thing, it cryptocurrency.
I imagine it wouldn't take blockchain. Too long to have some sort of a mini Wi-Fi signal. I mean, sure. Thinking with today's current technology, to have some sort of interface like that where you're doing things wirelessly. I mean, you could take a cell phone.
It is, in a way, wireless because it's using the photo,
yeah.
Whatever, I don't know the word either.
Photovoltaic?
I don't know, but it uses, so basically it uses the flashing light in order to receive and transmit data. So.
Okay, well, but take, for instance, like my watch. I have a Samsung, Gear Fit, and with a flashing green light, it measures my blood pressure.
Right.
And my pulse. I mean, and that's just a light on my skin. So, I mean, imagine something like this would work just as well.
Neat.
So, it's very cool.
Yeah. You know what else is cool? This next story.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
The mind-reading alter ego headset communicates with Alexa through telepathy. Speaking to voice assistants, no matter how helpful they can be, is still not something the majority of us do on a daily basis, especially in public. But what if you could speak to a voice assistant only by thinking about the words you want to say? Considerably less embarrassing, right? That's the basic concept behind the Alter Ego, a prototype mind-reading wearable designed by researchers at MIT. How it works is extremely clever. Okay, it doesn't quite read your mind, but instead it reads something called subvocalization. This is the name given to tiny, almost imperceptible neurological and muscular movements made when we say words to ourselves inside our head. 16 electrodes on the prototype Alter Ego headset sense the changes and match these signals to data inside a special neural network and eventually activate whatever task it was requested. The headset also has bone-conducting speakers, which use your skull to transmit sound into your inner ear rather than actually putting an earbud in the canal, so you can remain aware of the outside world while wearing it. At the moment, the headset has 16 electrodes and wraps around the side of your face with a connection on the jaw and the back of the neck. However, the team has seen similar results from a model with only 4 electrodes, meaning it could easily become much smaller. So far, the team has conducted various experiments, including playing a game of chess while telling the opponent's moves to the wearable computer and getting potential return moves spoken back. Cheating, yes, but a clear demonstration of what it can do. Additionally, the device can do simple math. Lead developer on the project, Arnav Kapoor, said the idea behind Alter Ego was to build an internal computing platform that feels like an internal extension of our own cognition. Thesis advisor Patty Mays added that the headset could help us all benefit from smartphones and the internet without being closed off from the world by looking down at a screen or wearing earbuds. Thad Starner, a Georgia Tech professor, pointed out how helpful silent speech would be in situations where voices can't be heard. People who work in noisy environments, for example, and those possibly including military personnel who rely on hand gestures to communicate when sound would give away their position.
Oh.
Or even for people who don't have the ability to speak at all. Currently, the Alter Ego is a prototype used for research and not available to buy, but it's possible we could see the technology being investigated here in next generation devices that we'll use as regularly as we do smartphones today. Wow.
I feel like this is not new, which sounds very weird to say, but I thought I heard something like this in Toronto, I'm going to say 5-6 years ago, where there was a professor who was working on mind-reading technology to control devices around his house. And the intent was to build something for people who are quadriplegic.
Hmm. Okay.
So I mean, maybe that was just a myth news story. I mean, fake news never happens. But, you know, it's possible that this has already been underway, but this is a very unique way of going. But with the whole idea of, you know, what I had heard about being done for quadriplegics, makes me wonder, could this be used for somebody who's, say, in a coma? So you've been in some sort of an accident. There's no way to verbally connect with you, but there's enough research where people have... It's determined that even though you're in a coma, you can hear. There is some sort of cognitive ability. Mm. And is there a way to interface with somebody who is in that situation?
Right, or even on the autism spectrum, like somebody who's just nonverbal, right?
Yeah. I think it's absolutely fascinating.
Okay. But then on the other side, and I'm doing the Jeff other side thing now.
Yeah. You're okay. Going to the dark side?
Yeah. If you could hack in, or if you could exploit and do some data, I don't know what they call it, scraping or something, and you could find out what people wearing these are thinking all the time, wouldn't that be really beneficial to people, you know?
Or wouldn't it be the case, like I've heard of the bone conductive audio on trains for advertisers so that when people rest their head up against the window, they can hear the ads.
Wow.
Even though there's no sound.
Right.
But it uses the bone conduction technology that this uses to... So what if they then translated this technology into when you put your head up against the window, it can hear your thoughts?
Right.
What I mean, there's always going to be a concern that the technology... I can't believe I'm actually defending this, but there's always going to be a concern that technology could be used negatively. But I mean, I see the positives for something like this.
Right.
And I would hope that... Once it is consumer available, the price point is not outlandish. That
right.
It is available for people who could benefit from it and not just something so expensive that's used to exploit people. But you do bring up a good point. And, you know, thinking about the unconscious, what about your dreams?
Hmm.
If you're
right.
sleeping and you're dreaming, your dreams are not reality. But is there the possibility that this would interface with the device to suddenly impact your outside world because of dreams? And I think of, what's that show, Black Mirror?
Yes.
Where they record your thoughts and stuff. Could this be going down that road?
Okay. I mean, this hilariously reminds me of a news story we did a week ago or so, where I can't remember, it was probably Microsoft banning you for offensive language.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right?
Offensive thoughts.
What about if you have offensive thoughts? Like, how big does your filter have to be?
Well, then we'll just be in George Orwell's 1984.
And here's my final thought. How would this change the world? And how, Sasha, would this change John Krasinski's Quiet Place?
Ah, see?
The movie just took on a completely different twist.
That's right. Retro programmers may need to reconsider using Linux beep command as an activity or progress alert. One of the silliest bugs on record emerged late last week when Debian project leader Chris Lamb took to the distro security to post an advisory that the little utility had a local privilege escalating vulnerability. The utility lets either a command line user control a PC speaker, or more usefully, a program can pipe the command out to the command line to tell the user something's happened. If, of course, their machines still have a beeper speaker, which is increasingly rare and raises the question as to why the utility still exists. Since beep isn't even installed by default, it's not hard to see why the issue went unnoticed. German security researcher and journalist Hanno Box alerted the OSSSEC list to further issues on Sunday. Bach listed an information disclosure bug in which beep opens arbitrary files for write as root, bypassing file permissions. Debian's Rhonda Devine wrote that this reveals the existence of files normally hidden from the user, and said, if a file has side effects when opened, beep allows the calling user to trigger those side effects even if they are not authorized to do so. Jacob Wilk pointed out that named pipes and tape devices are affected. Box notes also linked to an integer overflow and a bug in the patch that's supposed to fix the original issue. As a result, Box wrote, beep should probably be discarded. It needs a proper code review, and there isn't much point to the effort for a tool talking to the PC speaker, which doesn't exist in most modern systems anyway.
That is brutal. Why? How can beep have such a serious exploit as that?
Well, maybe because nobody uses it, and so, like, what?
I just can't fathom how a code that makes your computer speaker beep gives root level access to file systems. That's a fail. That's a big fail.
It's not often we have a news story where I kind of just go, what? Like, this is one of those ones.
Jeff, I'm the other side of that, where I'm flabbergasted. This is software that allows your computer speaker to go beep.
But that beep.
Is it essential for anybody to still have this? Does anybody use this in a way that they can't just dispose of it?
They can dispose of it, but then there are the purists who, you know, have been using computers all their lives, who, when I turn on my computer, I like to hear that beep. I like to hear the PC speaker beep.
That's a bad beep now, Robbie.
It's a very bad beep. And if you hear it, you are exploitable. That's ridiculous.
I have literally nothing to say about this. I
honestly just feel like perhaps it's time to just put it to bed. Like, don't fix the exploit. Just get rid of the entirety. Like, get rid of this beep speaker beep thing. Stop it. Just go.
The most useless feature of your computer. Just get rid of it.
Exactly. Remove your wisdom teeth and get rid of your beep speaker. Do both Perfect. Of those things in your life.
Problem solved.
But at least you can chew food with your wisdom teeth. But I mean, beep. Suddenly you get access to files you should.
It's a very malicious beep. Okay. Apple's plans to replace Intel chips Apple plans to replace Intel chips and will use its own custom Mac chips beginning in 2020. The new plan is part of an innovative named Kalamata, which is expected to help all Apple devices, including Macs, iPhones, and iPads, work more seamlessly together. The Kalamata initiative will allow Apple's design and engineering teams to have a much greater control over the power and features they wish to implement. Apple already designs its own ARM-based chips that it uses in iPhones, iPads, watches, and Apple TV devices. Moving away from Intel chips will allow Apple to freely release new Mac models without having to wait on new Intel chips. The company will also be able to produce new systems without having to depend on when Intel would be able to put new chips into production. The Mac chip plans are said to be in the early stages of development, and the transition to Apple chips in the hardware is likely to begin with laptops such as the 12-inch MacBooks as early as 2020. So, is Apple just going to take Intel down? Is that what happens?
No, not going to happen.
Okay.
Absolutely not. But
is Intel going to suffer from? I'm so confused. Like, if
no.
Okay, so Intel no. won't suffer if Apple withdraws.
No.
Then just let them.
Intel is a phenomenal company, incredibly stable. Is this going to have an impact on their stocks? Probably, but okay. It's not going to destroy the company. But the thing that Apple is known for making their own hardware. They do everything in-house. I mean, I have a friend who works for Apple. He patented a new heat cooling fan. Like, he had this team of four of them, and they came up with a new way of making it smaller, and, you know, but that's what Apple does. They go, I don't want anybody else's stuff. I want my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to not be able to use anybody's stuff for my stuff. They put these walls around their sandbox, and nobody can play with their sand unless Apple decides to let you in to play with their sand. And
right.
that doesn't happen. This is just another Apple-ism. This is what Apple right. does. So I'm not surprised by it. I think it's going to drive the prices up.
Marshman reminds us in the chat room that it means Apple going 100% proprietary.
Absolutely. It creates a whole level of brand continuity that nobody's going to be able to impede upon. Because if Apple, you know, by 2020 is completely standalone, they do it all themselves. By keeping everything contained within that sandbox, they are protected from any other company that goes poof.
Right.
You know, and if Intel ever went poof, Apple would be in trouble. But
right.
now, because they're doing this standalone, they're going to be protected in that sense. But at the same time, it also means if there's ever an issue with Apple, they could go poof.
Right.
Because it's solely on them.
They can't blame anybody.
Well, exactly.
Right? They can't be like, oh, we bought bad batteries.
Right. But I think this is going to drive the price point up. I mean, as it is right now, people are mortgaging their children in order to buy a new iPhone.
People are so brand loyal. If you are into the whole I thing, you love this story.
Yeah.
I am not, personally.
Yeah, I won't
way
buy.
To go, yeah. Apple. Big thanks to Peter Carvey, Roy W. Nash, and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.